Well, hello again and welcome back to the Ramble Room. This is Sarah and Ken is here and Joseph is here.
Howdy, howdy.
And Diane is not here. She is on a family excursion out of town.
So things are about to get crazy.
But it's private, so we're not going to tell you. Mm. You don't need to know about our personal business.
Jeez.
So anyway, we're going to be talking about a few things affecting Wyoming that have been in the news this past week, and none of them are going to be Liz Cheney, because I, for one, am tired of giving her airtime. She gone. So Ken's going to give us a little explanation of nuclear power, but first we're all going to practice saying nuclear.
It's just new and clear.
Not nuclear. Now I can't say it the wrong way.
Nuclear.
Not nuclear.
Nuclear.
It's nuclear. So that's lesson number one, since Diane's not here. I'll fill in for
her. Doesn't matter what George Bush says.
So kind of what brings us up is that Governor Gordon, everybody's favorite person, just announced this week that they are trying to bring a nuclear power plant to Wyoming. There are some very mixed reviews on Facebook. And for those of you that don't know, not that we're encouraging you to go to SheridanMedia.com, but if you want to register your vote in their poll, the question this week is, how comfortable are you with nuclear power in Wyoming? So far, it's looking like a lot of people don't want it here at all. Some people love the idea. Some people say, I'm okay with it, but have some minor concerns. And very few people say, I'm concerned, but would accept it.
I wonder what the reasoning for not wanting it is, though.
Well, if you look at the comments on...
Is it Chernobyl? Because they came out with the movie that was Chernobyl. And I think maybe that might have something to do with it.
Maybe.
Because that was kind of scary.
We all watched The Simpsons, and we know how Homer performed at his job.
Right, and the three-eyed fish.
I think there's a lot of misinformation out there, and it makes people nervous. It seems like a lot of people in the Facebook comments... I didn't want to read specific comments because I don't want to call anybody out without their permission, but there's a lot of concern about safety. There's a lot of concern about polluting our beautiful state into something unrecognizable. There's concern about Bill Gates' involvement. There's concern about tax stuff. But foist. Ken, why don't you explain to us?
I'll tell you a little bit. Before there was Chernobyl, there was Three Mile Island. And in the late 70s, when I was in high school, Wyoming had a thriving uranium business centered around Jeffrey City. It was called the Lucky Mac Mine, one of the largest producers of yellow cake uranium in the United States.
I like cake.
Lemon.
Betty Crocker or the off-brand?
This is going to take longer than I thought. Think about this for a minute. Now, this is 45, 50, 60-year-old technology that we're talking about when Three Mile Island occurred. Chernobyl is that type of technology put through a massive bureaucratic communist government system. So you don't expect high degrees of quality or competence.
Right. Not a lot of detail.
When you have a regime that absolutely does not care about their people, things are let go.
We are running off nuclear power all over the country right
about,
now.
About 20% of the country's power. And then, Europe and other places in the world, especially China and Russia, significantly more. They're using a lot of it. But what I want to stress is that technology, as with anything else, has not stood still over the last 60 years. So when we talk about the nuclear reactors, of course, we get the pictures of those big hourglass cooling towers and their luminescent smoke coming out of them and all the other stuff.
The shiny beam of light from the reactor blowing up.
Even when Three Mile Island failed, there was less radioactive particles in the area than there was just walking out through most of the hills of Wyoming, because Wyoming is full of uranium. Maybe that's why we're so special.
Is that where the jackalopes come from?
Maybe. At any rate, the technology then was they would build one massive plant with a massive reactor, and they would try to generate enough power for 2-3 states or whatever the area was there. The technology since then, and especially over the last 10 to 20 years, because there became more and more of an interest in trying to develop some energy outside of carbon-based, like gas and coal. So they developed a lot smaller type of reactor. The reactors they're talking about now are actually quite small. And what they do is they have a big reservoir of actually liquid salt, molten salt. What happens is the reactor heats that salt, and they store it in a thing. And then they use that heat whenever they need it, whenever they have the demand, to generate electricity through steam turbines. A lot of the people that have objections, they see in their mind Three Mile Island, they see Chernobyl, nuclear bad, nuclear bad, nuclear bad. I, for one, have been a proponent of nuclear energy for a long time. I like the idea of a lot smaller, more containable reactor that is obviously more controllable. That means that instead of trying to provide for a state or two as electrical power, we're only providing for one or two cities. And then a power plant that they're talking about that has that type of reactor could have maybe as many of a dozen of these and could provide for a reasonable area.
I think, though, we talked about this when Seth was here and we were talking about the truth about fracking. A lot of people in our generation, Joseph and my generation, not yours, we think...
There aren't a lot of people left in my generation.
No. Maybe it's because of all the nuclear power. We hear nuclear power plants and we picture, like mm-hmm. you said, the big hourglass things with the big symbol on the side. Oh my gosh, everything's going to blow up and then everything around it's going to be cooked and we're going to have all kinds of health issues because of this giant thing. I would imagine it's much like the fracking sites where we're pretty darn well regulated. Yeah. Because like you said, we tend to care about our people more than these other communist countries that are doing this and not doing it well.
The technology they want to bring to Wyoming was just recently approved by the current U.S. nuclear...
Oh, so it wasn't the president. Because I'm all in if it wasn't the president. you know, the thing.
This has been something that they've been working on for 10 to 20 years, trying to develop this type of technology that they want to bring to Wyoming. Why Wyoming? We have the largest reserves of uranium in the country, Wyoming, New Mexico, Colorado. New Mexico right now, probably the largest producer of uranium anywhere around.
So how would it affect Wyoming economically? Because some people are saying, oh, taxes are going to go up, this is going to go up.
That's going to create some serious jobs.
That was my first thought, but there's some outcry in the comments on Facebook of, oh, this is because they're worried that the current system is going to have to front the bill for bringing this in here, and then we're going to see tax hikes because our fuel costs are so high.
Well, initially, there is going to be some cost to it, but there's going to be a lot of mines that open up for that, and that's going to be a lot of jobs. We're seeing the coal industry in Wyoming kind of floundering at the moment.
It's being killed.
Right.
It's interesting that it's being killed by the same people who are pushing this kind of technology.
And it's the same... risk, really. I mean, yeah, you're creating clean energy, and I'm doing air quotes here, but you have to scar up the earth a little bit to get that out of the ground. You're not going to have guys with little wicker baskets walking down there picking up uranium.
You talk about scarring up the earth. If you go down around that area where Lucky Mac was, it's all been beautifully reclaimed, much like Seth was talking about when they get... You know, the regulatory commission comes in and tells you how you got to reclaim the area. And it's generally is nicer than when they found it. A lot of times it's more usable. So there are all kinds of elements that go in that. I think it economically definitely would be a boon for Wyoming. That's a mixed blessing. Those of us that have been around the state for 50 years or more remember what it used to be like. And the way we liked it was everybody around you thought like you did, acted like you did, believe pretty much the same way. And as a place becomes more and more popular, people begin to move in, it changes everything. And I, for one, kind of hate to see that. But change is inevitable, unless it has to involve me.
I ain't changing for no one. That's right. No how.
One little example, just a little story. You guys know that I was raised in Bighorn. My mother was raised in that same house out in Bighorn. And it was out there just a couple of years ago, driving right in front of that house, probably 100 yards away from it. And on the other side of the road is a big old pickup truck stopped in the lane of traffic and a gal in a running suit. Now, if you want to pass a law, there needs to be a law that when you're over 60, you shouldn't be wearing spandex.
I'm going to say that's fair.
You shouldn't.
You have to wear the poofy running suit.
I think it's constitutionally sound to say that.
So she's standing out there, leaning on the truck, and they'd made no indication to move out of the lane or anything, and this is a little narrow two-lane deal. So I slowed way down, drove around them, and just as I started to accelerate again, a little spotted fawn jumps out of the bush just right onto the road, because there the bushes are right on the road, and there's nothing I could do but hit it. So I hit it, and it's laying there, spinning around in the road, blood gushing out. Really was a horrible sight to see, but...
Not as bad as the spandex suit, though. Well, that seems like it stuck with you a little
bit. I'm not sure which was worse. But anyway, I I pulled over and I got out and I walked up to where the fawn was spinning. It was obviously dead. It was just in the throes of getting rid of the last energies. And I waited till it slowed down a little bit, and I picked it up and I threw it off in the bushes. And about that time, this woman comes running up to me. Purely Californian. If you're from California, you listen to this, just understand how we see you. And quit wearing spandex. And she says, "You people who come to our little town and drive like a bat out of hell, that should never have happened. You guys know me. You know that I often have some witty remark."
Witty's a nice word.
I bit my tongue, said nothing, got back in the truck, and drove away. I just think the irony of this gal who knows absolutely nothing about Wyoming or its culture or what that area has been like for the last 50 to 100 years while my family's been there. And I'll never forget her saying, "You people, you come to our little town."
Did you cross your arms and say, "What do you mean, you people?"
Oh, I can't even tell you what I wanted to do, but God is good. And
you're not. Yeah,
we got through it. But I say all of that and bring this story up because as Wyoming thrives and prospers, and especially an area like Sheridan that is so beautiful, it has so many wonderful things. It's one of those little places that was finally discovered. And now people are flocking in from everywhere. They're complaining about, for example, the Sportsman's Association wanted to build a range where they could do high-powered rifles for 700-800-yard range. The neighbors were complaining about that. Think it's dangerous. Can't do that. Well, why did you buy property out by a rifle range if you're worried about that? Just all of these things, you know, they come out here because they want what we have, but they don't respect or understand.
But they don't want what we have at all. They want what they want.
And then they come and they destroy it for everybody. So it is hard. I used to do a lot of blogging. I just got a kick out of it. And one of the rules is you're supposed to blurk before you blog. It means you find yourself in a conversation. You watch that conversation for a while. You kind of get a stride of what's happening, who's who, what the perspectives are before you just come in and just start shooting your mouth
off. That's an etiquette that's completely lost on social media.
Yeah, the internet ruined conversation or thinking.
That was the original etiquette as it was. And I think it needs to apply to when people move into an area. If you like the area, if you like the lifestyle, maybe learn how it works.
Yeah, learn the ways.
Before you try to change it, decide you're going to bring... You're going to bring all this new thinking to a bunch of hicks.
Right. You hear about all these liberals, and they say, "Oh, we stole this land from the Indians," right? And they, so you're sitting there going, "Oh, we stole all this land from the Indians. We came in and we pushed our ways on them." But that's exactly what liberals do whenever they come into our small towns. Is they go, "Oh, well, you need to do it this way. And if not, then you're a terrible thing. You're just some, what would they call us, bigot?
You remember last...
Nazi."
You remember last week I used that expression, "mean people rule."
Yeah.
That's really the truth. I mean, the people that take possession of a place do so because they can.
I think yours is an interesting perspective because when you read through the comments on, okay, nuclear power is coming to Wyoming and there's all these opinions without that etiquette of, why don't you read what other people have said before you put in your 2 cents? But I didn't see anybody on there. I haven't scrolled through all 400 comments yet, but I didn't see anybody on there making that point that Wyoming is kind of the way that we want it. And if we start opening this door, who knows who's going to pour in. But at the same time, historically, the West has boom towns and bust towns. A lot of people flood into the West when a town is booming, and we're kind of used to that. And then all those people go away eventually because it's going to bust, well, but it might not. But I just think...
Well, the men that are working in the mines will likely be conservative, no matter where they come from. If they're hard-working men, chances are they'll be conservative.
Except when it comes to drinking.
Right.
But inevitably, you have the hard-working men that come in to move into the mines, and then you have people going, "Oh, this town is booming over here. They need more culture, and so we're going to bring in this or that."
I never understood the culture thing. I think we need less culture.
Clearly.
We need more... living in the trees, I think, hunting our food with sticks.
I think that's what we should go back to. That's the culture we need here.
Don't you do that anyway?
Pretty much, yes.
Tree people are special.
Special people.
So one of the things that's already in Sheridan, apparently, are Palestinian supporters.
Yeah, I watched that sign being painted. You saw the Facebook post that I put up on
it? I did see the Facebook post. And every day I drive by and I make sure that I point at it so that if there's anybody behind me or anybody in front of me, they see the Palestinian.
Which finger do you point at it with?
Well, whichever one I feel like that day. Usually it's the one that I shouldn't.
That's true. And you talk about, you know, mean people rule. They want you to believe that Israel came in and stole the land from the Palestinians. Not so.
Right.
I'm not going to go into that at length.
And the Israelis have done everything that they can to make peace.
Yeah.
With Palestine.
They will allow them to live there.
Right. Yeah, and they're not the ones that are trying to commit genocide. The Palestinians are a genocidal regime. But anyways, I digress.
So you have a bunch of terrorists there. And then you have somebody, and I drove by when this gal was painting the sign and writing the script on there. She is obviously of some sort of Middle Eastern ethnicity.
Right.
She was wearing a headdress of whatever type. I mean, in
not
the
a
army,
turbine.
In the army, we had our own expression, but I'm not going to use that here. But that is an example. Is you start to bring in people of all different types of backgrounds, and when you bring in people with different types of backgrounds, they come up with different ideas, and we're not going to like them all.
Right. Well, yesterday we had a gay pride parade in Sheridan. Not everybody agrees with that.
As in
Sheridan.
Yeah.
Sheridan had a gay pride parade.
We actually ended up being kind of involved because we were trying to cross downtown and we could hear all the commotion, but they didn't block the streets off. So we were stopped at a stoplight just watching the whole thing go by. And someone stopped and tried to give us a flyer. But the
thing about that is...
That happened to me a couple of years ago. I got stuck in the middle of that.
Is all of these people in the gay pride parade, which I'm not saying anything bad about you, just you were in a parade. Anyways, they walk by this Palestinian flag. I stand with Palestine flag. And I don't think any of them looked up and went, oh, how terrible. Like, because Palestinians and Muslims, not all Muslims are bad. I don't know. That's a question mark at the end of that.
Not all Muslims are bad?
Have you met them all yet?
I've only met a few. But anyways, their belief is that you should die if you're homosexual. They throw you off of buildings and stuff like that, and it kind of blew my mind that none of them. I had a girl walk up to the car and ask me if I wanted a flyer, and I said no, thank you.
He was very polite. I was there. I can attest to that.
And she looked at me like, oh, I can't believe you're not going to take my flyer. And then she walks off. But the flag was right there. The flag was right there. And she's not throwing stones at the stinking
sign. I would have
taken
all the fire she had.
And then lit them on fire underneath the Palestinian flag sign. Yes, yeah. Here, this is how I support your rights. I support your right to not be killed for whatever you're doing.
If you have a sexual preference, I guess maybe people might say that's what Mardi Gras is a big sexuality parade, and they're not necessarily wrong with that. But
of all sexuality.
Yeah, to this point.
It's not a specific gay or straight or anything. It's just, that's
the scientific term for it.
Yes.
If this is the way you want to live, fine, you go live that way. But don't try to teach my kids that this is normal. Don't try to teach my kids that this is right. Don't force me not only to accept that, but to celebrate it. It's one thing to just tolerate it and allow it to go on and live and let die.
Right.
Well, live and let live.
We don't even celebrate straight sex. I mean, that's it.
Well, you don't.
Well, on a one-on-one basis. But it's not this giant parade of, hey, let's show everybody what we're doing over here.
Well, have you ever seen those parades in Denver?
No.
Or any other large metropolis?
Well, Florida, Orlando, Florida had
I'm sure.
So something called Gay Days, and it went on for days.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of people being arrested for having sex in public places.
Yeah. You just can't. That's common in societies. As a society begins to tilt and decay and fall apart, this sort of thing becomes rampant.
Right. And I don't care if you're gay. Like, I don't. As a matter of fact, I voted for gay rights. I voted for gay marriage. And some people don't like to call it gay marriage. Some people say, you know, a civil union, whatever. I call it gay marriage because, well, you're married on paper. I saw that there was unjust for people to live together for years and years and not be able to have the benefits, and so on and so forth. But anyways, I am on the side of equal rights in that way, but I'm not on the side of promoting sex to children of any sort. Like, not straight sex, not gay sex, none of it. Just live your life, and whoever you have in your bedroom, that's your business. I don't want to know about it. You don't want to know about my business.
Nope.
I think everybody in this room comes from the Christian perspective of what does Scripture say, and that is absolute truth to us. And yet we all, as Americans, approach it as, what does it mean to be free? You are free to choose. Now, I'm not saying that you chose your sexual orientation, because apparently that's not a thing. But you do choose how you live with it. And whether it's a gay pride parade or Mardi Gras or a bunch of dudes walking through the street saying we like boobs.
Could you imagine that?
I don't want to hear about it. And I don't want to see kids marching in your parade. When we had to stop at that stoplight and wait for the parade to go by, it does not bother me that it's gay people. I don't care.
Well, it was about 90% underaged girls.
Yes, dressed very provocatively,
right,
in ways that I wouldn't want my boys to see and wouldn't want my daughter to dress. That's what bothered me about it. Well, that was one thing. The other thing was church people marching in that line. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, you have to go by what Scripture says.
Well, obviously you don't.
But at the same time, if you call yourself an American, yeah, those people have the right to do what they want. But why does it have to be child indoctrinating in your face, celebrating whatever's going on that is supposed to be a private, sacred thing in your home?
Right.
Be happy. Not out in the streets.
Be happy that you have the rights that you have. Okay, it's like a kid going up to the ice cream truck, and he's got $1.50, and he gets the little red, white, and blue lollipop, and he's just so happy about it. And he goes back to his friends who are broke. And waves it in their face and says, look what I got. Look
you
what
don't
I
have
got.
No,
it's,
ice cream.
I can say it's been done, Joe. I got the ice cream, and you can have none because you're welfare.
Dad's an alcoholic. That was Eddie Murphy, by the way, you young kids that are listening.
It's kind of silly the way that everything is being betrayed. Yes, the gay community has had a rough go at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to deny them that. People used to, and I haven't seen this in a long time, and I was living in a city with several hundred thousand people in it, and there was whole communities of gay people that were completely happy. Like, there was nobody coming in with pitchforks and knives, nobody was throwing them off of buildings, nobody was hurting these people, they were completely happy to be there. So, okay, you have your rights, you have all the stuff that you want, and nobody's bullying you, nobody's picking on you. Why keep going? You don't want rights anymore. You want to be celebrated. You want to be idolized.
There you've hit on what I was waiting for. If you believe, as I do, that homosexuality is sin, then it is something. I don't hate gays and lesbians. I hate the sin that they are caught up in, and I would like them to change, just like somebody who maybe he's just a drunk. Maybe somebody else who's caught up in a gambling addiction or whatever else it is. You don't go out there and celebrate that, especially if you are loving as a Christian. It's not loving to promote, to celebrate somebody's dangerous behavior.
That's where we might have a disagreement. As far as life in general, not in the Christian community, I don't find it a dangerous activity to be gay. Now, as a Christian, I have to look at it as that is a sin. But as a day-to-day life, I have somebody that lives very close to me that is gay, and he is a great guy. He's a great guy.
You ever hear of AIDS?
Yes, I have. But straight people get AIDS, too, and they're promiscuous, very promiscuous
people. How
did
it get into those realms? So anyway, that's a whole nother topic. But going back to what we were saying, when you have an area that is prosperous, where there's economic growth, where there's a lot of good things going on and a desirable place to live, as Sheridan is, you're going to get people of all stripes and all colors and all beliefs and all impressions and all states of mind, perspectives, and we're all going to have to learn to get along.
I guess so. Hopefully not with the communism.
That's where we draw the line.
We're all poor together. This is great. This is the best.
We all have that line. Hopefully not with, you know.
So there's a lot going on in Wyoming, as usual, not just with springtime and the heat suddenly turning to 90 degrees after 60 degree days.
I would like to say a public service announcement. Funds out, dumbs out. You guys need to slow down out there. Your driving sucks.
Like idiots. Just because there's no snow on the ground doesn't mean there aren't possible dangers.
Sometime we're going to have to do a show on the etiquette of four-way stops.
Oh, my God. I don't think anybody's going to learn anything.
I know. Well, I was, you know, I go through them probably 20 or 30 times a day. I'm going through four-way stops. And it is just insane how people react. But now that the sun is out and that young ladies are out wearing what young ladies wear, and they're trying to...
Oh, please, go ahead, ma'am.
Yeah, they're trying to pedestrian... I've seen more close calls, more stupid things, all piled up. You know, stupid is as stupid does, and then it gets deeper and deeper. And I'm about to the point where I just want to buy a tank.
I don't have to stop at the four-way
stop.
That
would really help if there was a nuclear meltdown, if we all had tanks.
Yes. Well, duct tape. We need lots of duct tape. It's the only thing that'll save you.
Do we need aluminum foil hats, too?
No, just duct tape.
Okay.